Welcome to our service for the second Sunday after Trinity. In our series looking at the Old Testament reading set for each week, we consider today the Lord's choosing of the people of Israel as his treasured possession and its implications. We will be studying Exodus chapter 19. But we begin with John Newton's timeless hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." And our time of penitence. We begin with the Trinity Kyries. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you convince us of sin and righteousness. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the second Sunday after Trinity. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour out into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. We said that in these weeks of the season of Trinity, we are going to look in particular at the Old Testament readings set for each Sunday. Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 19. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord God called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, 'You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation.' These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, even though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Stay a day and live the life. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was asked recently to take part in a costumed staging of the magic flute at Rossa Gilwen. I've had to reply that I don't have the time for the rehearsals and performances required, but in truth, I also have the feeling that that kind of performing is a thing I had to grow out of. I served my time in amateur dramatics and amateur operatics in my youth, but I think back with some degree of embarrassment on those efforts now. One of the shows I took part in, though, when I was only 14 or so, was Fiddler on the Roof, a musical with the unlikely setting of a persecuted Jewish community in Tsarist Russia. The central character is a Jewish milkman called Tevye. A milkman back in the days when the village milkman owned a cow and took her produce round the village by horse and cart. As the plot moves onward, the threat of persecution from the Russian authorities becomes more intense until violence actually breaks out. One of the comic aspects of the script is Tevye talking to God. "I know we're the chosen people and we should be grateful," he says to the Lord at one point. "But couldn't you choose somebody else sometime?" In our Old Testament reading today, we have one of the first moments when that choice of the Lord and its implications is first made explicit. The Lord speaks to Moses from Mount Sinai and says, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." In Jewish history, the Exodus from Egypt is the foundation story. Subjected to cruelty and hardship, the Israelites miraculously escape the clutches of Pharaoh, across the Red Sea and the desert, and eventually here to Mount Sinai. This is not only a physical journey, it is a journey into a relationship. "I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself," says the Lord. It's worth pausing to reflect and to wonder and to give thanks for how long this covenant has endured. In all its history, from these early biblical beginnings well into the modernity of Tsarist Russia and the appalling events of the Holocaust only slightly later, now into the founding of the modern state of Israel, a nation still troubled by conflict within and external enemies, the Jewish people have clung fast to their status as the treasured possession of the Lord. The covenant, which was sealed in Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb, has been their strength through centuries of unimaginable cruelty and persecution. In our series of studies in the Old Testament, which is to say, our studies in their scriptures, we will always want to remember the debt we owe to the faithfulness and perseverance of the children of Israel. They are to be, the Lord tells Moses, a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. The Old Testament is shot through with this idea of the holiness of the God of Israel. He is, of course, a demanding God in moral terms, but it is important to realize that the moral framework which he gives to his people is given to them for their good. At one time, it became fashionable to criticize the Ten Commandments as a negative set of regulations, all saying, "Thou shalt not," "Thou shalt do no murder," "Thou shalt not commit adultery," "Thou shalt not steal," and so on. But it's not negative, really. If you imagine a society in which murder, theft, and adultery are rife, you will soon realize that the vision of a society free from those violations is a positive and not a negative one. Secondly, though, holiness is about something more than mere morality. The Old Testament has a sense of the awesomeness of God. It would be a fair criticism of some modern expressions of Christianity that we have too cozy a picture of the Lord. As our Saviour did himself, we emphasize the love of God quite properly, his individual concern for his children, for every hair of our heads. But Jesus never lost that essentially Jewish sense of the awesome God of Sinai, who breaks out in the fire of holiness and yet calls his people into a relationship of love. They are to be a holy nation, reflecting the holiness of the God who loves them. They are also to be a priestly kingdom. This does not just mean that they will be a people who will have an order of priests, a set of clergy, if you like. That is an important part of this. But what it also means is that they will be an intercessory people. Their relationship with the Lord is not given to them for themselves alone. It is given so that all the nations may see that he is holy and loving, and that he is God. "See, you will call nations that you do not know," writes Isaiah, "and nations that did not know you will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has given a shining greatness to you." It is at this point, though, that the Jewish and Christian understandings of history diverge. As Christians, we believe that the worldwide Christian church is the fulfillment of that prophecy, that through the faithful witness of the Jewish people in the centuries before Christ, and through the coming of Jesus himself, the Jewish Messiah, the God of the Jews has shown himself to all the nations of the world as the holy God who loves them. And we believe that we now share with our Jewish friends the responsibility to witness to that same holiness and love. The Apostle Peter, himself, of course, a Jew, as all our Lord's first disciples were, writes to the new Christians to whom his first letter is addressed in exactly the same terms that the book of Exodus uses here about the Old Testament people of God. Peter writes to these new Christians, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Someone said once that you should think of God's choice of the doctrine of God's election in the shape of an hourglass. God's love is for all the world, but for that love to be ministered to humanity, it is narrowed first into the election of the people of Israel, and eventually narrowed into one man from that people, our Lord Jesus Christ. From there, through his witness first to his people, Jesus' whole ministry was sent in Palestine, but then to the Christian church, and then through the witness of the church among the nations, the love of God is ministered to the whole world. "God sent not his Son into the world," we read, "to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen.
True Son, be thou in me dwelling.
dignity, thou my delight be, thou my sole shelter be, thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance now and always. Be thou and thou only the first in my heart, O high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Great heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be thou my vision, O ruler of all. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin our time of prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Yn tad o'r hynnoed yn y nefoedd, sancteiddio dy enw, ddeled dy dernas, gwnelo dy awyllus, megis yn y nef, ddechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bar o beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwen ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu, a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Lord, as you have called us, make us worthy of our calling. Guide us that we may become the people you would have us be, and direct us that we may do what you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. On this Father's Day, we ask your blessing on all the fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, and all who act as guardians to their children. Guide them to be good role models and loving to their children, and give them grace and patience as they watch their children grow into adults with children of their own. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church. We pray for your churches today and all those gathered around the world, some in tiny churches, some in great cathedrals, to praise you, to hear your holy word, and to meet you in bread and wine. We pray for our own Bishop Joanna, for Archdeacon Eileen and LMA Dean John, and for Matthew and Judith, and we thank you for their ministry to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our neighbours in this country and around the world who live in poverty. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the third world, caught up in a cycle of drought and hunger. We pray for the working poor in this country, struggling to keep families fed and clothed as the cost of living continues to increase. We pray for all who are working to combat the growing food crisis. We pray for local community organisations and food banks, and for the international aid agencies. And we pray for those in positions of power, that they may act with wisdom and compassion to bring relief to those who are suffering and move us towards a world without hunger. We pray for ourselves. May we share generously with others and join our voices with those who call for an end to poverty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our troubled world, for places of oppression, tyranny, and violence. We remember all who suffer through war or natural violence. We remember all those in Ukraine who have suffered and who are still suffering as a result of Russian aggression. We ask your blessing on the hungry and the homeless, and for all refugees and asylum seekers as they look for a safe place to stay. And we pray that our own government will have compassion on all who seek refuge in this country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for all who need love this day, for the sick and the sad, the sorrowing and the bereaved. Lord God, whose Son Jesus Christ understood people's fear and pain before they spoke of them, we pray for all those in hospital. Give strength to those in pain. Hold the weak in your arms of love and give hope and patience to those who are recovering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we remember with gratitude those who have left their mark on our lives by giving us love and laughter, but have gone before us to be with Christ. On this Father's Day, we remember our own fathers and thank you for each of them. Keep us faithful to them as you are faithful to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Throne.
May the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.